Our first reading from the scripture this morning is written for us in the first letter of John, in chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. The writer is reminding the church, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us." The second reading is written for us in the Gospel according to John, chapter 15. Beginning at verse 1. In this teaching of Jesus, he speaks of his disciples' relationship to himself. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes in order to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." May God add his blessing to the reading of this word. There is a lighthearted play called The Curious Savage. And one of the characters in the play is named Fairy May. She's feeling mighty low because, as she says, no one has said they love me all day long. So a character by the name of Mrs. Savage replies, "Why, yes, they have, Fairy. I heard Florence say it at the dinner table. She said, 'Don't eat too fast, Fairy.'" "Was that saying that she loved me?" Fairy asks. "Of course," Mrs. Savage replied. "People say it when they say, 'Take an umbrella, it's raining,' or 'Hurry back,' or even 'Watch out, you'll break your neck.' There are hundreds of ways of wording it. You just have to listen for it, my dear." Fairy May then says, "My dentist said I had perfect occlusion. Do you think he was telling me he loved me?" Mrs. Savage answers, "What else?" And Fairy May, all aglow with that refreshing good news, says, "Oh, thank you. I've been missing so much. Oh, my dentist loves me." The ways in which you and I choose to communicate are likely to establish who we are in their eyes. And when our face pops up in someone else's mind, what, I wonder, would you and I like the response to be? Oh, there's that malcontent again. Or, oh, there's that self-centered egotist. Or, oh, gee, there's that gossiping rumor monger. Or, there's someone who told me I am loved all day long. Actually, you and I do have some major control over that response, especially when we allow our first language, like English, to become the second language, and to make the voice of God's Spirit within us become the first and most powerful language. That is to say, open our hearts, open our emotions and passions, open our imaginations, and then our words and gestures. Open all this to God's Spirit. And then we speak and we celebrate and communicate in a language more in tune with God's will for all humanity, the language of our joy. We have some ability to gain this perspective on ourselves. In today's reading from the Gospel, Jesus says, I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now in this context, to bear fruit means to live out the new life that we discover through relationship to Jesus. The branches that do not bear fruit, in fact, are really of no use in affecting the world or even in affecting one's own personal experience of God. Their non-productive discipleship can be compared to dead, withered branches that might just as well be cut off and gotten rid of. But all the branches, even the fruitful ones, can benefit from a little pruning. This will help them produce more fruit. So God, the vine dresser, works on the disciples of Jesus to prune them so that they become more productive. The purpose of the vine is to produce fruit. What's the point of a vine that has no fruit? The aim of Jesus, the vine. I say Jesus is the vine of God. Is to have followers who not only will live the good news that he bestows on them, but also share it through what others can see of them in their daily experience in the world. And for us, the basis of our fruitfulness is our connection with the true vine, which is Christ. The message is that Christ nourishes a certain kind of life within us, who are his followers. Moreover, he makes it possible for us to live that life. But the one indispensable condition is to live it with him, in dependence on him and not independent of him. We never outgrow our dependence within ourselves on Jesus the vine. He is the strength. Through him, the energy flows into all the branches. To be cut off from the vine is to be cut off from the energy. He is the strength and the power and the life that is in us. And we surely would not dream of trusting some other power, some other person, some other structure or group. Trust them and look in another direction for the way to life, only to discover that it isn't there and that we have once again deceived ourselves. Our life is truly graced only when lived with Him and in Him. To live with Him and in Him is to live according to His guidance, according to His direction. To live with Him and in Him is to follow in choosing to do God's will for us, to choose and do that will. To live with Him and in Him is to live in harmony with the new command He gives, to love one another as He has loved us. To live with Him and in Him is to bear fruit in the day-to-day practice of Christian faith, which we call our discipleship. Shortly before Jesus' passion, before His death, He came down hard on religious hypocrites of His time, whom He usually called the Pharisees. And He said, "Woe to you," He said, "woe to you who have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and good faith. These you should have practiced." Because it was easy for the religious practitioners to try to call attention to doing the fine points of dietary laws and rules, because that's something you can get a handle on, something you can control. And of course, sometimes there was a little money involved. So it was a lot easier for that to happen than to pay attention to the real message of God for His people. He called them hypocrites because, He said, they do not practice what they preach. They practice the wrong things and they neglect the right things. His point was that you and I ultimately become what we practice. And we practice that with which we become identified. So there's a book written a few years ago by Judy Vorst. It's entitled Necessary Losses. In it, she quotes the actress Liv Ullmann. And Liv Ullmann says that in her life and in her art, she knows that we have to work to be good people, and that goodness always involves the choice to be good. We can be all sorts of people, but we identify ourselves as being a kind of person according to what we have been exposed to and have learned about all through our lives. And so we come to see ourselves and our life in a certain way. William James, famous psychologist of a few years ago, once said, "If I could, I would be a great athlete, make millions a year, be a wit, a lady killer, a philosopher and philanthropist, a statesman, a warrior, an African explorer, and a saint. But the thing is simply impossible. Such different characters may conceivably be there at the outset of life, all alike possibly in a person, but to make one of them actual, the rest must more or less be suppressed." So the seeker of the truest, strongest, deepest self must review the list carefully and pick out the one on which to stake salvation. In other words, we choose the path that we will walk out of all the differing parts of us. Tennyson's Ulysses says, "I am a part of all that I have met." But we transform the parts that we have met. We are each artists of the self, creating a collage, a new and original work of art, out of scraps and fragments of many experiences in life with which we would like to identify. We try to follow that with which we identify ourselves. We practice to be that way, to be it, and to do it. Practice a certain pattern of thought that becomes our prevalent thought. Practice thoughts of prejudice, you become a prejudiced person. Practice thoughts of hate, I hate him, I hate her, we become a person who easily hates as a prevailing attitude. Practice thoughts of gloom, become a gloom-filled person, a habit that is hard to break. Practice thoughts of joy, you become a positive-minded person, gradually induce joy, spread joy. It could become the dominant thought pattern of all your personhood. We become, ultimately, what we practice. Perhaps it is true. We become like what we think about all day long. Or, as one of the writers in the Old Testament said, as one thinks in his heart, so is he in this world. A little seed lay on the ground and soon began to sprout. Now, which of all the flowers around shall I, it thought, come out? The seed could be heard saying, I don't care to be a rose. A rose has thorns. I don't care to be a lily. A lily is too colorless. I don't care to be a violet. It grows too close to the ground. And it's very small. And so it criticized each flower, that supercilious seed, until it woke one summer hour and found itself a weed. We choose what we need to choose. But what we give to life is what we get. And what we reap is what we sow. The fruit we bear by the choices we make will be returned to us in abundance. But in order to experience the joy of the good and the abundant life that Jesus offers, we need to identify with Christ, and this transforms the bits and pieces of life so that it becomes our art by our decision making to follow in this way. The love of Christ becomes the theme of the canvas of our life's collage, uniting all the parts of us as we practice the fine art of being followers of Jesus. As we practice our art, we stay attached to the vine, for we are the branches. Of the vine. We are fed the fruit of the vine and of the field. The symbols mean we are fed by Christ. We are fed by the Spirit of God. We are fed as we bind ourselves to the vine, through which the power of eternal life flows through us. And we will indeed bear much fruit.